Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what?
I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right.
So,
okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but see,
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
I think, ouch. We all have a stool of decisions in our life, and I think if you've trusted Christ, most likely you've given him the stool and at times wrestled with allowing him to have complete control. In the video, the fellow playing Jesus said, the person sitting in the cross makes all the decisions. On the surface, we know that Jesus is going to make the very best decision. God's wisdom is always God's divine wisdom, and his heart towards you as his child really only wants the best for you. The problem is, we don't always see eye to eye with the Lord and his decisions. And I don't think it'd be as much of a problem if we understood and agreed with what it meant to give Jesus complete control, to be fully surrendered for his will for our lives. You've probably heard of Patrick Morley, most likely known for the guy who wrote The Man in the Mirror, but sometime back he wrote a true story about a man named Adrian Rogers, who was a famous 20th century Baptist pastor. And Rogers once went on a mission trip to Romania. And so over the course of 2 weeks, he bonded with his interpreter, but really hadn't learned much of his thoughts. So towards the end of the trip, Rogers asked his interpreter, tell me, what do you think of American Christians? To which the interpreter replied, I don't want to talk about it. Of course, it only made Dr. Rogers more curious, and he began to press him for an answer. So finally, the interpreter said, okay then, but you're not going to like my answer. I don't think you Americans understand what Christianity is all about. Back in the 60s, you started to use the word commitment to describe your relationship with Christ. However, any time a word comes into usage, another word goes into disuse. He continued on until the 1960s, you Americans talked about surrender to Christ. Surrender means giving up control, turning it all over to the Master. Master Christ. And by changing the word to commitment, your relationship with Jesus has become something you do. Therefore, you're able to keep control, where surrender means giving up all rights to oneself. You Americans don't like to do that, and so instead, you make a commitment. Now, surrender is an interesting word. When we hear surrender, we probably think of losing something. The enemy finally surrendered after 3 days of fighting. The gunman surrendered and was taken into custody. The troops were forced to surrender the fort. And there is that side of surrender as surrendering to an enemy. But the good news is, God is not your enemy. Now, in literal terms, surrender means to give up something to another person. It also means to relinquish something that was granted to you. It might be your possessions, your power, your goals, even your life. And we find as we surrender all to God, it can be a good thing, not a bad thing, when you surrender to God. And we know as believers, when we accept Christ, we accept him as our Lord, our Savior and our Lord. He is both Savior and Lord. But Lord means complete control, absolute sovereignty. We love the Savior part. We wrestle with the Lord part at times. That complete, absolute sovereignty. We know he's sovereign, but over our lives, we may wrestle. We read in Philippians 2:9, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Revelation 19 confirms this. Revelation 19:16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we really know what it is to surrender our life to Christ, it's for his glory, but really for our benefit. He truly knows what is best for us. The problem is that for most of us, this sounds good on paper, but the reality is we struggle with giving up control. We like to be in control. We like things our way. If this wasn't true, why do we have so many disagreements, even with the people we love and care about? Last week, we looked at, you know, what we called growing fat in the Lord, prospering in the Lord, and we looked at, for another purpose, James 4, but we're going to return to it once again this morning, James 4, 1 and following. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, and you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's all about motivation and our attitude. Surrendering is not easy. It kind of goes against our nature, at least our fallen nature. And understanding this, I think, should actually help us. God is holy, pure, righteous, and full of perfection, and we should desire more of him in our life and completely trust him in all things, which, according to the Scripture, means full surrender. We understand Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. They work together good because God is a good God, and he's working on your behalf to the best purpose. Now, some, the problem is believing that God is truly good all the time and that he loves you. And even when you believe that he's truly good all the time and he fully loves you, you still struggle, we all struggle, with this full surrender. And not fully surrendering is really unbelief. According to Scripture, it starts with being honest with yourself and honest how you see God. When we see God as a good God and really believe it, when we see God as a holy God, when we see God as completely trustworthy, it becomes easier to live a surrendered life. Living a surrendered life is a good thing. Jesus knew his Father, trusted his Father. He knew that was a good thing, and Jesus lived a surrendered life. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 8:50, I do not seek my own glory. Fully God and fully man, Jesus surrendered and yielded his will and desires to the Father's will and purpose. Jesus lived and modeled a fully surrendered life. John 8:29, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus made the choice to fully trust the Father, to surrender his will to the Father's will. We know it was a choice on his part. He tells us in John 10:17, The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus made it clear that he alone made the choice of self-surrender. It was his choice. And we have the same privilege of that same choice. We choose how much of our lives we surrender to God. That's our choice. And you will never receive all that God has for you. You will never accomplish all that God wants for you until you fully surrender your complete will to his will. Jesus surrendered his life that you might live. Jesus surrendered his life that you might know God. Jesus surrendered his life that all of your sins would be forgiven. Jesus surrendered his life that you might know the joy of fully surrendering your life to God. And maybe that's part of the problem as well, because when we talk about being surrendered to God, we don't think about it as a joyful thing. We think about the wrestling, the things we're going to give up. And Jesus also made it clear what he means about a surrendered life. You recall one day a Pharisee came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said this, Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And I want you to notice the fullness of surrender here. I mean, Jesus gave us all, and he's looking for the same in return. And he's not looking for any kind of partial surrender. Think of it this way. I don't know of any marriage where one mate tells the other, "I would like 80% of your loyalty. 20% can go to somebody else, that's fine. I want at least 80%. I don't know anybody. And if everybody does, I mean, that's a prescription for disaster right there. In our personal lives, we want complete love, complete surrender, complete loyalty from our mate. Makes sense, right? Why would it be any different with God? And what does it mean to love God? What does it really mean with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind? I mean, that's everything about you. That's total surrender. Loving God with all your heart means your deepest emotion and feeling. Loving God with your whole soul means the depth of who you really are, your very being, everything about you. Loving God, of course, with your whole mind means every thought, every emotion, every decision. We'll never do this if we're full of self. We'll never do this if we think we have it all figured out. We'll never do this if we hold on to resentment of things that have happened to our lives. Sometimes we don't give up because full surrender because things have happened in life that has caused maybe resentment or frustration at the very least on our part with God. What about this? I tried to do this. That didn't work out. I asked for this. That didn't go my way. If we hold on to resentment, we'll never move forward. You know, the truth is, it's easy to go through life if we're not careful, frustrated or angry at times with God, blaming him for things that didn't go the way you wanted. All of life events have the opportunity to shape us into the will of God for our life and his purpose in our life. At times, God allows things in our life to draw us closer to him, and the choice is ours. But sometimes, we got to come to the end of our rope before we realize it. We don't need to, but why are we like that at times? Sometimes we need to get real with God about where we're at, like this fella here.
"Look, I'm sorry. There's somebody I got to go talk to."
"Miles, wait.
Good. I'm glad you're here. Because we got some serious issues to talk about. First of all, you took my mother from me. And that just about killed me. But I kept my mouth shut and let that one slide. I've done some bad things to people for a lot less. But I've been trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I've been faithful. Me going to church, reading your precious little book. I even drop stacks of hundreds every Sunday in that little velvet bag they pass around. I've changed. I'm a changed man. Can't you see that? Well, my bad. Of course you can. You see everything, right? So what's the problem then? What do you want from me? I know I haven't made you proud. How could I with all this mess I got going on? What happened? What happened to all the things I've been reading about? Grace, forgiveness, mercy. Where was the mercy from my mother? Now you want to take Vanessa from me? Nah. That ain't gonna happen, big guy. Look, I'm a stand-up guy. If anybody needs to pay for their sins, then let it be me. Please, just leave everybody else out of it. Just take me. I'm ready for whatever you got coming. You wanna send me to hell? Book the flight! But please, please, I'm begging you. Don't take Vanessa from me. Just tell me. But whatever you want me to do, tell me what you want me to do to spare her life. I didn't mean a word I just said, Lord. I'm sorry for yelling at you in your house. But God, you gotta know this is rough on me. Just let me know what I gotta do to make this right. I'll do it. I surrender, Lord. I surrender.
Truth is, we alone make the choice to surrender to God, and some never will. Some have to wait until all their strength is depleted, like the man in the clip. The wise make the choice early on. God knows right where you're at, even right now. It's always wise to get real with God. Hebrews tells us this in chapter 4. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even in the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give account. God knows exactly what's going on with you, every part of you at all times. And when we're in the word of God, it says it's a discerner of our thoughts and intents of our heart. It helps us get real with ourselves where we're really at. I mean, what a glorious scripture. God's word is alive and powerful, and it reveals right where you're at. Verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. And the wording here is a picture of one's head tilted back, his face fully in view. Everything about him is exposed and uncovered. Nothing is concealed, honest before God. David Allen writes in the New American Commentary, the word connotes the picture of total exposure and utter defenselessness. Complete yielding to the Lord, to the Master. I said God knows right where you're at all times, and he knows your every thought and intent. It's time to get real with God. And some will look at that and feel threatened. Some will see it as a threat. Time to get real with God. The correct way to see it is that you're getting real with a loving God who is all-powerful, yet full of love and mercy, and knows and understands what you're going through always. And he approaches you with nothing but compassion, love, and mercy, and your very best. To the one that's fully surrendered to God, this is reassuring. He gets it. He knows what's going on. Even our frustrations, even my anger or whatever, he gets it. To the one that's resisting God, notice They too will give an account of their lives before him. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. The wise do it here and now. And not just once they get saved, but really here and now on a daily basis as you live your life. The wise trust a loving God and confess him here and now. The fully surrendered live with a daily account, live with a daily account in their life before God. The fully surrendered life, it doesn't happen overnight. The Apostle Paul is a good example. He started out fighting God. He persecuted Christians. But Jesus intervened and revealed to Paul the truth about who God really is. And Paul then began serving a life fully surrendered before God in spite of deep persecution because he really understood who God was. He did out of love and out of obedience, not out of fear. He wrote to the church of Philippi about all that he had before he met Christ. Not really bragging, but making a point. This is where I was at. This is all that I achieved. And he said, you know, none of that really matters. It means nothing compared to knowing God and being surrendered to him. He said that he desired to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being fully conformed even unto death. Who prays that, right? I want to know you, Lord, in the power of your resurrection, and I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering because I want to know you and live for you. He said that, and then he writes in Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I've already attained or achieved it all means, not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I forget my past. I'm not perfect, but I press on. And I'm not perfect, but I'm also not willing to stay here. Because it's so easy to say, well, I have my faults. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. No. But Paul didn't stay there. He kept more, pushing forward, going more. I press on in spite of my faults. I'm going to trust God and get closer to him. I mean, is that your goal? Is that what you're reaching for? To get closer to God? To press on? Living a fully surrendered life to God means trusting him completely. Scripture we know so well, or should really, Proverbs 3, 5 and following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's what a fully surrendered life looks like. Trusting God, acknowledging God in all your ways. Everything you do, seeking his wisdom above your own. Notice verse 8. We don't always get this part. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Trusting God completely. It has so much benefit. Matthew Poole writes this. Marrow is the nourishment and strength of the bones and a great preserver of prolonger of life, as the decay of it is the chief cause of the weakness and dryness and decay of the body. The sense of the verse is this. The wisdom or fear of God is not only useful to salvation of the soul, but also to the health and welfare of the body, both as it prevents those diseases and distempers which are oft produced by sinful lusts and passions, and it gives us an interest in all God's promises and puts us under the care of a special providence. It's accepting Christ for your salvation and trusting him through every part of your life. Living fully surrendered to God is not an 80-20 proposition. Fully surrendered to God will produce great peace and great joy in your life. You just got to start somewhere and do it. And fully surrendered to God is never easy. Because to be fully surrendered to God, it will come at a cost. It will mean you have to give up a lot of self. Fully surrendered to God may look something like this.
Hey, Kat.
Jesus.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
The smell? Oh, well, that's my trash. I just,
I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. It's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so.
Right, okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that. Okay, I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I...
Come on. Just hand it over. All right. Let go.
Yes,
yeah? Just, yeah? Yeah? How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy. Yeah,
just loosen it up a little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
The lack of trash.
Wow. It's just like, this is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well, I get used to feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I got to get one thing, okay? Hold on just a minute.
Get one thing? No. Don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but you need to put that back.
Oh, no, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here,
put
it here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know.
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you. The real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
Fully surrender to God, that means living a trash-free life. Paul understood this. He writes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Talk about living a fully surrendered life. It's not easy to be fully surrendered to God. We'll all wrestle with it, but let's press on. Let's move forward. Let's push towards the goal, what God called us to, because that's what he wants in us. Invite the worship team to come forward. Surrender life. God has a plan for our lives, and surrendering to him means we set our own plan and really eagerly seek his. But we know that God's plan for us is always in the best interest of our life. We remember this scripture so well. Jeremiah 29:11, Father, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Unlike our own plans that often lead to destruction, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of the way is death. The more of lives we surrender him, the more area of lives we give to him, the more room in our life for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So are you fully surrendered or only committed? Let's be fully surrendered, and let's stand together and worship God.